You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt on the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
And the old sous chef Frank Proctor along for the ride here. Welcome to another, well, that's a great looking Saturday morning, isn't it?
It is. When I look outside, I can't really see you though, Frank. Are you here?
We've got a couple of,
I hear your voice.
You wouldn't believe the hysterics going on here.
It's dark in here.
Well, there are two lights that are out in the studio here. One light on. You've never
I need
heard
a flashlight.
Bitching and whining, I'm telling you.
I can't see.
Oh, what's going on?
I can't see.
I can't do radio
when I can't see.
Darn good thing we don't have to do sign language, huh? Really. I'm telling you. Well, anyway, that's it. Yeah. We got to work to get Charlie in a real good mood, okay? So I'm going to give you the phone numbers, and I want you to call in number one and just when you call, the first thing you say to Charlie is, hey, Charlie, buck up.
Yeah,
suck
right.
it up, princess.
Suck
okay.
it up, princess. Thanks for that. 416-360-0740.
That's for Toronto area callers. Mm. Then anywhere else in the province, it's toll-free, okay? We pay the shot. 1-866-740-4740. Now, as is our wont, usually, Charlie comes in with a whole raft of information packages
announcements,
there, announcements,
events.
Yes.
Too bad yes. I can't see to read them to you.
Here we go.
All right, let me see. I got a little candle glowing here. Let's see. Okay, the Agent Court Garden Club will be hosting their monthly meeting and show this Monday, June the 11th at 8 p.m. The subject is poisonous plants. The speaker is Heather Hudson. The place is the Knox United Christian Education Center at 2575 Midland Avenue in Agent Court. Free parking, refreshments, everyone's welcome. Tuesday the 12th. Oh, yep, that's right. Tuesday the 12th at 7:30, the Scarborough Garden and Hort Society. So lots going on in the East End. Hosts a general meeting and free lecture by Sherry Lynn Safer on roses in your garden. Interesting, because Sherry Lynn Safer is our special guest in a little while. She's going to be talking to us about roses as well. She is with the World Federation of Rose Societies and Vice President for North America. That is Bermuda, Canada, and the USA. The event on Tuesday will be taking place at the Scarborough Village Community Center, 3600 Kingston Road and Markham Road. The Burlington Hort Society General Meeting, again, is on Wednesday, June 13th at 7:30 p.m. Roger Shantz from the University of Guelph will be speaking on new plant introductions. He's a pretty clever guy. He helps me out at Canada Blooms every year, grows mm-hmm. some of the new, he actually grows all the new introductions for the show, but he also grows some stuff for me to use in the gardens at Canada Blooms. So Roger is great. He runs the trial gardens at the University of Guelph. He knows. He's a real nerdy, eh? Real detail guy.
Real nerdy. He'll be delighted to hear that.
Oh, yeah. No, he knows it. But he's full of information. You know what I mean? He's just, those nerdy people can really
teach. And you on the other hand
teach.
Are just full of it.
A lot. Oh, yeah. I just make it up. There will also be a flower show. And the flower show at the Burlington Hort Society meeting on Wednesday is a tribute to the Queen's Diamond Jubilee, which is kind of fun. Everyone, of course, is welcome at the Senior Center, 2285 Drury Street at Drury Lane in Burlington. Same day, Riverdale Hort Society hosting their flower show and annual strawberry social, 7 to 9 at the Frankland Community Center, 816 Logan Avenue. The Lakefield and District Hort Society, wonderful rose and flower show on Tuesday, June 19th at 8 p.m., Saturday, June 23rd, so that'll be 2 weeks from now. This is a nice outing. If you've got somebody in your family or friend who you'd like to take out for a little special something and you want to go down in the Niagara area, or you're already in that area, Saturday, June 23rd, you'll have to register in advance, but it's from 11 to 1 p.m. It's the Niagara Parks Botanical Garden hosting a one-hour seminar called Discovering Herbal Teas. Charles Hunter, the curator of vegetable, rose, and herb gardens and instructor at the National Parks Botanical Gardens and School of Horticulture, will be teaching you how to cultivate and harvest and utilize herbs for tea.
Hey, that sounds great.
It is. It, yeah. And this whole, it's a package deal. You get lunch because it's the whole event. The seminar's happening at the Niagara Parks Whirlpool Restaurant. So 11 to 1. A one-hour seminar, soup and sandwiches, nice, you know, obviously great outing.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice place to go. $25 per person, must register in advance. You can phone 905-356-8554 or go to their website, www.niagaraparks.com and then /garden-trail-botanical-gardens.
Gee, I'm going to have to get that note to one of my daughters-in-law. She is a great tea drinker, and she loves going to the King Eddie where they have the special teas.
Yeah.
You know, she'll. It's not cheap, you know.
No, at the King Eddie, this is less expensive. That's for sure.
Exactly, but boy, it sounds like fun.
Well, it's fun because you'll learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you'll learn more about something you might already love, but you might want to actually do some growing of some of the special things to make your favorite teas and blends, and certainly some of the things we put into our teas can really encourage whether you're looking to be more tranquil or more energetic, or you know you've got a sore stomach, whatever. Tea can really help with a lot of everyday.
Well, there you go, Sherry. I'll be bringing home that information for you.
All right.
Good stuff. Is that about it or what?
There's always more. There's always more. It is that time of year. And don't forget garden tours. This is the weekend. This weekend, today, tomorrow, Toronto Botanical Gardens through the Garden Gate tour. So if those tickets are not sold out, you could go today or tomorrow, 11 until 4, 21 Resplendent Gardens in Rosedale.
Excelente. Okay. And I see that our producer, David Gaskin, has been doing his job as usual in an excellent fashion. We have callers all lined up ready to talk to you, Charlie, and we'll do that right after these words.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than we do realize. And should little creatures become a big problem, well, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Well, let's see, at 9:13 we welcome Rochelle to the line, calling in from Creemore. Good morning, Rochelle.
Good morning, good morning. Actually, I'm calling about a tree, my lilac tree, in Toronto, and it's a very old tree, and I have not been good about pruning off the spent blossoms. So now it's a lovely white lilac, and it blooms way, way up high where I can't even get the fragrance of them. And I'm wondering if there's any way to prune...
bring it down.
To bring it down, yeah.
You know, the trick with lilacs is you cannot treat a lilac the way you treat, say, a spirea. You can't just give a haircut to a lilac, meaning, you know, cut off, you know, get out your chainsaw and kind of drop it down 5 feet and go straight across. That completely messes up the form of the plant. The natural form of a lilac is vase-shaped or V-shaped, so narrow at the base and wide at the top. And your point is a good one, that if we don't control lilacs, they just keep getting taller and taller. Before you know it, we can't smell or trim or get near the blossoms. If you want to do some pruning to that plant, how tall would you say it is now, the lilac?
Oh, it's maybe 20 feet. It's very old.
It sounds it. What I would suggest, because the proper way to prune a lilac, whether it's 20 years old or 3 years old, is we take out the older stems first, right from ground level. In the case of a very old shrub like yours, of course, it's probably all very old stems coming from the base. But I would suggest that is not, it's something that it's very hard to really identify over the phone, or over the radio, what's the best way to do this, except to say, I would be looking at bringing an expert onto your property to identify the best way to move forward. You can properly prune slowly over a period of years. This isn't going to be an instant fix because it's too big of a plant and too much is required. And you can't do it all in 1 year. But it is something that can be done, and your timing is good because this is right around the time when it is appropriate to start looking at bringing that entire plant lower, closer to the ground. And it will happen by taking out some of the older wood first.
okay, there are suckers, and I'm hoping that the suckers will eventually become a blooming entity.
They will. They will, as long as they get enough light and enough air, and that's the problem with the big high canopy above. The suckers often just shrivel up and don't ever thrive because they're not getting any sun because there's all these monster branches and stems above. So that's the trick, is to actually not ever removing more than one-third of the plant at any one time, is to actually remove and actually cut back, prune out a third of that plant in such a way as to allow and encourage those suckers to grow up.
Right. Well, I did have an expert come in a couple of years, so you're thinking that advising that I should have him come every year so that he can do a complete turnaround.
Exactly. Every year for at least 3 years, right? Uh-huh. Because you can only do a third at a time. So it's going to take a couple of years to bring the plant down, but it can be done. You know, it can be done.
Sounds like one that's really worth saving,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, as long
it?
As it's a healthy plant. Of course, they're not very, very hugely vigorous when they're 20 years old, but if it's a good, healthy plant, it shouldn't be a problem at all.
It grows right beside the composter.
Oh, it loves it there, I bet.
Everything does. I have to tell you, I was the one that was whinging and complaining about the new fence and the clematis that had disappeared.
Uh-huh.
It's growing.
Excellent.
And blooming, and or budding, ready to bloom.
Excellent.
And I have to say that I have new respect for the toughness and the and the resistance, you know, of these clematis, because it was right down to the ground. It was down to the dirt.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah, when there's life in them, they'll do whatever they can to burst forth, right?
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for your call, Rochelle.
Yeah, interesting little problem hopefully solved there. 9:17 our time here on a Saturday morning with Frank Proctor, your sous chef, and, of course, Charlie Dobbin answering the questions here. Let's see what's being offered up from Arras, Ontario. And Laura is there. Oh, well, hello, Laura. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Frank?
Good.
Morning.
Good morning, Charlie. What did Charlie, he say? Buck up?
Buck suck up? It up, princess.
Yeah. That's why we call him the sous chef. And he'll be staying the sous chef for a long time.
What do we got going at your place?
Oh, well, I've got a hibiscus here. Mm-hmm. It's a tropical type, indoors, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, except for the summer, I put it out. I've had it, it'll be 6 years this July since I got it. And it has bloomed in the past. And this year it got spider mites on it, and I sprayed it a couple of times, and I think I licked that problem. But the leaves, look, they're not flourishing. They're there, but they're sickly looking.
So are they just pale in color or small in size? Or?
Yeah, they're smaller in size, and they're not as robust as they normally were.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered, should I transplant it?
When was the last time you did transplant it?
I didn't.
Oh, well, there you go. You're right, because you know what happens with hibiscus. The roots, well, they're very vigorous plants at any time, so the roots tend to just fill up the pot. So you have virtually no soil left. If you pull that plant out of the pot, you'll probably find it's 90% or more root in that pot and very little soil.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are thinking about transplanting, remember, you can pot it up to a bigger pot with some fresh soil around it, but if you do that, like if you go to the bigger pot, remember it's going to become a bigger plant. So be sure that you can handle that in and out and through doorways and everything if it's going to get bigger. What I tend to do once I get up to about a 10 or 12 inch pot with a hibiscus, I don't want to be in a bigger pot. I'll take it out of that existing pot, get out a saw or a super sharp butcher knife, and literally saw away some of the roots before I go back into the same pot after I've washed it and now there's room for some fresh potting soil. That would be a good idea. Have you fertilized at all this spring?
Yes, I've been using 15-30-15. Yeah, Miracle-Gro.
Mm-hmm. Which should be fine. Mm-hmm. And of course, you've got it in lots of sun. Is it? And I assume it's outside now.
Well, I had it outside. Yes, it is outside.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been in and out according to
the
weather.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we should be at the point where we're frost-free now. The thing is to get it outside in the shade to start for the first, you know, week or so, and then slowly but surely move it out into the sun. And that will make a difference as well. But sure, while you've got it outside, this is the time of year to repot. And if it's been 6 years, I would suggest you start with that for sure.
Yep.
Okay.
So fine. Thank you very
good
much,
idea.
Charlie.
Thanks, Laura,
for your call.
You're welcome. Okay,
always
bye.
A pleasure to welcome Laura to the line. She calls in quite often, actually, for the diner on Saturdays between 12 and 1. Yes.
You're old buddies with her,
old
by the sounds
buddies.
Of it.
Yeah, 9:20, right on the old schnozola, which means it's time for Frank to get exercising here as the visual cue for the lady herself.
The visual cue. I wish I could see you.
Well,
they're keeping me in the dark here, you know? I'm like a mushroom.
Two bulbs have never seen such reaction in my life.
How can I do a radio show in the dark?
Well, get free Daniels.
I'm bringing light bulbs with me next week.
I'm going to bring a flashlight.
That'd be good.
Big sucker, you know?
Yeah, love it. All right. The reason Frank has now started to do push-ups, I think, I can hear him panting in the corner. I just can't see him. is because Frank and I both take a product called Sierra Sil, which is a completely natural mineral supplement for boomers who want freedom to maintain their favorite activities, like push-ups in the dark, with reduced aches and stiffness. Be quiet. You're panting. You sound like a dog. All right. So Frank is working away there because he's feeling pretty good. You can hear it. You know how chipper he sounds? He's telling me to suck it up. I mean, stop panting. Sierra Sil is something that works for most people. 14 days, you should feel better. If you don't, the people in Vancouver who manufacture and distribute Sierra Sil will give all your money back, including shipping. You can get it straight from them at their phone number, 1-877-JOINT-14. Check them out on the web, sierrasil.ca, or even pick up Sierra Sil at your favorite health food store, like Good Health Mart in Woodbridge or the Postmaster IDA Pharmacy on Postmaster Drive in Oakville.
Don't change the radio station. Just because the weather changes, garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And this is the sous chef, Frank Proctor,
yes.
Giggling at myself because I really embarrassed myself.
No, you didn't. Just like to pretend you know what you're talking about.
Well,
that's
exactly.
It'll come.
The only thing I feel really well-versed in talking about is nematodes.
Really?
And I see Elaine is online from Toronto, and the little note says that nematodes are eating garlic. And I said, Charlie, what the devil is she doing with nematodes this time? Usually that's summer, isn't it? And she, no, there are.
Naturally occurring.
Yes.
But you know what? Let's talk to Elaine. I have a feeling it's not nematodes.
Okay. Oh, well, maybe I'm off the hook then. Yeah. Hello, Elaine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for Charlie. Yes, nematodes are ruining our garlic.
Okay, so how do you know? Have you dug up the garlic to look?
You can, yes, we dig it up, and they've got this tiny, tiny, tiny little worm. And we put it in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes up beautifully in the spring. The stalks are nice and healthy. And now they're starting to turn yellow. And as soon as you pull it, you see all these tiny, tiny little, well, they're nematodes. I've looked it up, and that's what they are.
Okay, so you'll know it's a nematode. Like, you're actually seeing the movement of the animal?
Yes.
Okay, and is it like, looks like a piece of wire or a thick piece of hair?
It's, yes.
Okay, so that would be a nematode if it is. They can be quite long. They can be as much as an inch and a half long, but very, very thin.
Very, very thin, yes.
Okay, because I was just thinking you might have something called onion maggots in your garlic, which is very common, something that does exactly that, burrows into onions and garlic, and actually can be a huge problem. Once they're in the soil, they're in the soil. All right. Have you got garlic just in one area in the garden, or have you got it scattered about?
We've got two patches, and it's the same thing in both patches.
Hmm.
So how do we get rid of these things?
You know what? You're going to have to leave that with me. I'm going to have to look into that.
Okay.
Back in the day when, you know, we weren't as worried about the kind of chemicals we used in our gardens, there were soil drenches that were available to annihilate insects in the soil that were doing that kind of damage to underground roots, etc. Nowadays, those chemicals don't exist. So that's a good question, and I don't know the answer to it. So
we're desperate because we used to have beautiful garlic.
Yeah.
And the last 2 or 3 years is just very frustrating.
All right, wow, so this isn't the first time this has happened then?
No, it's happened for the past couple of years.
Couple of years, okay.
And we're moving the location of the garlic, so...
But, With even within that 2 or 3 year period, you've moved it every year.
Yes, every year we move it.
Wow. So you were ready for this and watching for it, obviously.
Obviously, yes, because it's very disappointing to see the healthy stock.
Oh yeah.
And then it we don't get the yield.
That's right, exactly. You go to all
the garlic from China is the pit.
I know. Well, it's been irradiated. It won't grow.
No, it tastes terrible anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. A lot of times, because it's traveled overseas, uh-huh, to keep it from growing on board ship, it's hit with some radiation to kill the bud.
Right.
So,
how do I get your answer then?
You know what? I'm going to see if I can look this up and answer before the end of the show. So continue to listen.
Okay.
If I can't give you an answer within the next half hour, then I will make it top of the show next week.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, interesting question that, eh? Mm. Wow. And I love garlic, too. Oh, boy. You a fan of garlic?
Charlie? I love garlic. Yeah. Life wouldn't be right without garlic.
Yeah. Garlic with spaghetti and butter.
Here you go again.
I love that. Don't
forget the salt and pepper.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. Salt and pepper just laces.
All right. So before we go to another caller, we're just going to have a quick chat. Sherry Lynn is going to join us, Safer. Okay, so here's the story on Sherry Lynn. First, she traveled the world as a model. Okay. She's beautiful.
So, obviously a very good-looking lady.
Now, she's traveling the world as a Rosarian, representing Canada to the World Rose Society, Vice President North America of Canada, U.S., and Bermuda. She is in charge. Like, it all started, of course, she's worked her way up through the ranks. She's Toronto-based, so she started with the Toronto Rose Society, moved up to the Canadian Rose Society, and is now, like I say, Vice President of the World Rose Society.
Wow.
So she knows a lot about roses. And it's a really good time for us to be talking to her because she's going to tell us a little bit about her favorites and also what she recommends when it comes to the care and pruning, fertilizing, that sort of thing of roses. And I've got a question for her from one of our callers from a few weeks back.
Okay.
So, good morning, Sherry Lynn. Are you there?
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, this is Frank.
Hello, Sherry Lynn.
Hi, Frank.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. You are sort of the rose between two thorns here in the show. You know that?
Why, thank you.
That was well put, actually. That's good. So I just gave a little intro about how you worked your way up through all these rose societies. And how long have you been a real rose lover, rose aficionado?
Well, really, I'd say about 8 years. It sort of happened very quickly. I've always loved flowers and, like most people, roses, attracted me. And was doing a little rose growing up at my cottage. But being very ensconced in all these societies, about 8 years.
Wow. So, okay, with the experience you've had with the 8 years and even the idea of growing roses up at the cottage, give us an idea. What are some of your favorite roses for, say, what's your favorite climber or top two or three climbing roses for the Ontario gardener?
Yes, exactly. And I will also mention my garden, my cottage garden is up in a zone 2B.
Mm.
So I'll be mentioning, hardy things, but
super
definitely
hardy.
New Dawn.
Yep.
Pops
love
right
it.
Into my head.
Yep.
And the great thing about New Dawn, you get, 12 feet of growth and a season soft pink and can grow in the shade.
Mm-hmm. Not full shade though.
No, not full shade.
Like as long as it's getting at least 4 hours of sun?
Yes.
Okay.
If the listeners want to grow, shade tolerant, anything in the hybrid musk category, Buff Beauty is really great, a soft yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly roses will grow, Charlie, will grow in shade. I have a couple back in full shade. You're just not going to get the blooms that you are in the full sun, ideally, the 6 to 8 hours.
Well, that's what's happened at my house. Like, I have an area where I have three roses, three floribundas, that were just masses and masses of blooms for the last 10 years. But a tree is slowly but surely getting bigger and bigger, and they're getting less light every year. And I really notice I'm not getting the same masses and masses of color that I used to as the light is diminishing.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to...
Probably have to move.
I'm
not going to cut down the tree now. So I planted the tree. No, I'm going to have to move the roses. They're okay. They're happy. They're healthy. They're just not as amazingly bright as they were. So ultimately, I'll probably have to move them if I want to keep the colors like I used to have.
Exactly. No problem. And I recommend that people, dig your hole. Ideally, if you can in the fall, if you're going to transplant a rose,
mm-hmm.
and do it first thing in the spring. Mm-hmm. You know, as soon as you can put your shovel into the ground, prune it back so that it's manageable for you to move it, mm-hmm. and then plant it as you would a new rose, and you'll be good to go.
Yeah, and take as much root as you can possibly carry.
Exactly.
And what about the graft? When it's a grafted rose, do we bury that graft below the surface, or do we leave that bulbous, you know, sort of tumor-looking growth?
The bud union.
What, yes, where do we leave that? Above ground or below ground?
Thank you for asking that, because that's one of the biggest, misunderstandings is a lot of times the tags, we get tags in the nurseries, and the problem is they're grown in the United States on what's called Dr. Huey rootstock, mm-hmm. which is perfect. Mm-hmm. For California, yeah. Texas, all that. Okay, so now the everybody is realizing that they're growing it on the multiflora rootstock. So I want people to always ask your nursery, is it multiflora? And then it's hardy, and mm-hmm. but still, Charlie, I recommend planting that bulbous thing that you see, mm-hmm. that bud union, 4 inches below the ground. And mm-hmm. the reason why is, you know, with the way our global warming is happening, and we're getting, you know, freaky, you know, 1 year, you know, 5 feet of snow and then nothing, mm-hmm. and this warm winter. And it's not just like perennials. It's not the cold mm-hmm. that kills off plants. It's the freeze-thaw
yeah,
cycle.
Yeah, extremes, yep.
So if we bury that bud union, it stays frozen until, you know, spring truly does come, and you have no problem.
So what, now, way back 100 years ago when I went to university, a lot of our training was from the British method. And of course, in England, that was where those bud unions were being planted above the soil surface. And
exactly.
That's what we learned back, like I say, 100 years ago. And the reason, the argument was that that way you avoided suckers growing from the rootstock. So Rosa multiflora growing up in amongst my beautiful whatever, New Dawn or whatever I've chosen as my rose. So when we bury that bud union, are there ramifications like more suckering?
It can be, but you know what? I literally, in all the roses that I've grown, have never had a sucker. But should anyone ever get a sucker, don't cut it off mm-hmm. at the soil level or where you see it coming from. Mm-hmm. And so that people know that what a sucker is, that you can definitely tell the leaf, the foliage is completely different, mm-hmm. And the coloration is different. Take your hand where you see that stem coming out and push away the soil and get right down to where it attaches to the bud union and yank it off.
Yeah, or bend it, break it off.
Exactly.
Never cut it.
Yes. But no, I mean, the thing is you have to bury it. It's interesting because I winter in California and I do belong to the Desert Rose Society. And, of course, it's the complete opposite because, you know, they're getting the heat. And, of course, in places in the south, yes, you do raise it up. And, in fact, they actually scrub the bud union with like a, quadruple zero, what do you call it, you know?
Like not bleeding, like a rubbing alcohol kind of thing? Or no,
like a scrub, what do you call it when you want to scrub something?
Bristol.
You know. We're both like, Frank, help us out.
Jeez,
curly cake
just
kind of thing.
A plain old brush.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Well, like a brush, but yes. And
steel wool.
But of course, we never want to touch it. It needs to blow. And up at, like, mm. if people are in cottage country and growing roses, which you certainly can, and even David Austin's, which mm-hmm. my favorite. Okay.
Really?
Oh,
are David Austin's really your favorite?
They really are.
Why?
Old garden roses and Austin. You don't love them?
You know why I don't love them? The
why?
Stems are so soft, and the blooms are so heavy. It's like growing peonies, you know?
They fall over.
They fall over.
Yeah.
You have to lie on your back on the ground, look up at your rose and go, that's really pretty, because it's all facing down.
At least you stop and take time to smell the rose.
maybe you could answer a question for me, Sherilyn. We have moved into an apartment in the last 3 years, and so we got this balcony. Charlie finally got me to buy a gardenia tree, and I'm tending it the best I can, and I've got lots of buds on it waiting for them to bloom. But I would love to put some roses on that balcony. Now, how would I go about doing that?
Well, the most important thing is to get a container large enough to allow the root spread.
Okay.
And is it windy?
Yeah, it can be.
Okay. So the other thing is, So as long as it's getting a lot of light, you need to water more often.
All right.
Okay. And talking about watering, if it's in a garden situation, once a week, I mean, obviously we've been getting enough rain lately. If you're getting more than an inch of rain a week, then you don't need to water. And better one thorough heavy watering than Monday, Wednesday, Friday, a little bit.
Right.
And that goes for all plants.
Deep roots.
But yes, thank you. And so, but with your any container planting, you know, on a balcony or patio, definitely big container, good thorough watering. There, you with a container, as all containers, you may need to water like the Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You'll just watch your plant. And really, you could grow anything, whether it will overwinter. I have grown on my driveway, you know, because, again, you go to the garden centers and pick more than you can plant, in large containers. And what I do is I put leaves over them and sort of do a winter covering. Now, that might be a bit messy for your
apartment.
Yeah.
Yes. So I would take some burlap.
All right, yeah.
And cover it gently, just around the bottom. You don't have to do the whole rows. Yeah. And sort of just cozy it in, and if you can nestle it in the corner.
Yeah.
Away
out
from
of the wind, out of the sun.
Yeah, there's a spot to do that, yeah.
And then when you see the forsythia blooming, that's your tip. You can start, we can certainly pull it out sooner, but that's when you start to prune.
And I think maybe I'll take your advice and go for the new dawn.
You don't want a new dawn. No, you don't want a climber on your balcony.
You won't be able to get out of your balcony.
Oh, see, I've boxed myself in.
You've got to give him some names, and he'll need fragrant too. So what's a couple of good examples? I recommend like a Floribunda if possible, or even a small shrub rose for Frank. Anything come to the top of your mind, Sherry Lynn, that would be fragrant?
Yes. Well, you know what? Gertrude Jekyll. Again, I know it's in Austin.
Austin, yeah.
Okay.
Gertrude Jekyll.
Jekyll, J-E-K-Y-L-L.
It looks like Jekyll and Hyde, but she's
all right. Austin. Okay.
And the reason I say that, the fragrance, you know, is just so intoxicating. It, unlike, yes, I agree with you, Charlie, some of the other ones, you know, Pat Austin, they do tend to droop. But she stands upright, 4-inch blooms, beautiful pink, and is great in a container. Mm-hmm. A Floribunda Amber Queen, if you love
pretty.
A really good apricot blend.
Yeah.
Betty Boop, you know, if you want something fun, it repeats quickly. It's ivory, yellow, and orange red. It's like really fun and crazy.
Yeah, that's actually perfect for Frank.
Yeah, this
okay.
is a, that kind
yeah,
of works.
I don't know Frank, but
I'm
you know?
Liking that Betty Boop
well,
suggestion.
I'm a little odd. I'm a little odd. So
it works perfect with his wife.
Love to tell people I'm growing Betty Boops. I would.
All right. Okay, so that'll be Frank's homework, to find a Betty Boop rose. Okay, now, just you said get a container big enough. What would you suggest is big enough? 12-inch, 14, 16-inch? How big a container?
If you can, you know, get a nurse. I would do 24 inches across.
Yeah, it's big.
You know, and what I do is I approach the nurseries, and if they've been planting trees, or sometimes they come in the burlap, but often they do come in still a big plastic container. And when they were, you know, planting in the TBG, I asked them.
Lots of pots.
Yeah,
it's a good point. I could bring one for Frank. I've got some in my garage.
Oh, great. Okay.
That way can save himself. Now, okay, one more question though.
The better,
this is good. I'm liking this. This, you know, roses on the balcony, because we have a lot of listeners who are balcony, terrace, patio gardeners.
Condo, yes.
Would you use just potting soil in a 24-inch pot with a rose, or would you go sort of half and half?
I would do half and half.
Yeah, so good quality potting mix, mixed half and half with, say, triple mix or garden soil or some kind of a good earth.
Yes, I do. I recommend for my planting, excuse me, 1/3 black earth, a good black earth, and 1/3 compost, and it could be hopefully homegrown or get it in the nursery. And the other 1/3 is a manure, and I prefer sheep manure over cow. Because I always say the cows are always getting sick, you know, the hoof and mouth and the bad cow disease. I just prefer sheep.
Oh, very good.
There
okay.
you go. Boy. All right.
That's my little mixture. And I'm organic, and I really recommend people to stay away from any, you know.
Synthetics.
Well, thank you.
Great tip. Yeah. Gee, thank you very much.
Wow.
Can I mention that I'm actually speaking?
Yes, I did already.
What's that?
Go ahead. You can mention it because I already mentioned it too.
Oh, did you? That I'm speaking at the Scarborough Hort Society.
Mm-hmm. This Tuesday.
Oh, you mentioned it. Okay.
7:30 p.m.
Yes, thank you. And then if people are up in Barrie on Austin Roses, surprise, surprise,
yeah.
on the 19th. I didn't want to be one of those callers, that have the radio on in the background.
Oh, yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
Right.
So, no, that's brilliant. Well, thank you. You know what? Our 10 minutes just went really fast, Sherry Lynn. This has been wonderful. We're going to have to get you back again because we never got, you know what? Let's make a date to get together again towards the end of the summer in the fall.
Very good.
Talk a little bit then about winter care, pruning, if you recommend any pruning in the fall as we go into winter, and sort of update everybody on what's going on with the roses at that point.
I would love to do that, Charlie. And in the meantime, people can check out the CanadianRoseSociety.org if you didn't mention it.
No, I didn't. So is that all one word? CanadianRoseSociety.org. And there's tip sheets and information on how and what and where to do with roses.
Yes. Wonderful. Should I give my website out or no?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
If people want questions and answers, Baby Blue Rose, they're working on a blue rose, Baby Blue Rose with the number 7 at gmail.com.
So babyblueRose7@gmail.com, and you'll reach Sherry Lynn Safer, who is the vice president of the World Rose Society and knows a lot about roses.
Been a pleasure. Thank you very much for your help.
Thanks to the both of you, and I'm off through the garden gates.
All right. Enjoy. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Charlie. Bye, Frank.
Bye-bye now. 9:43. What a delightful gal.
Yeah, she's great, eh?
And giving me a lot of stuff to think about.
Yeah,
here.
Baby Boop.
Betty Boops.
Betty Boop.
Betty Boops. I'm going to grow up. meantime, I'm back to my exercising, and you know why.
Oh, because Lord. It's I'm just time. Tired looking at you.
Well,
good thing it's dark in
thank
here.
Thank you very much. I feel the same way about you, but I don't say it out loud. We'll get back to other callers in a moment. But
you know what? Frank is wearing all white today, except his shorts. He looks like he's ready to go play tennis. He's just Mr. Athlete here.
Mr. Athlete.
Kickboxing.
Yes.
He's Trip doing,
as I go over the net.
He's doing his sit-ups and chin-ups here in the studio in the dark. It's great. I mean, he is one active guy. And the way he continues to be so active and laugh throughout is he takes his Sierracil on a daily basis, which helps alleviate stiffness and achiness in the joints. So that's something that both Frank and I take in order to avoid pain as we age. Hate to use that word, but it does seem to make a difference. So bottom line, if you're stiff and achy, consider Sierracil. For more information, check their website, sierracil.ca. Give them a call at 1-877-JOINT-14, or you can pick up Sierracil at Essence of Life on Kensington Avenue in Toronto and Natural Solutions at the Sherway Gardens in Etobicoke.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Well, we have a number of folks waiting online to talk to you, Charlie, and I hope they enjoyed that interview with Sherry Lynn Safer. But I know Clifford in Welland has been hanging in there.
Safer. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. Hello, Clifford. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, how's it going?
Very good, thanks.
Morning.
This might sound a bit more like an architectural question than a gardening question, but I've renovated my house and I put in 3 bay windows, which I want to fill with plants later.
Mm-hmm.
And given the Victorian period, I was going to put stained glass in.
Mm-hmm.
What color should be emphasized that wouldn't harm plants? Because I know glass reflects wavelengths, different colors.
Right. That's a really good question, actually.
Wow, yeah.
Well, okay, so the number one thing is plants need red light how white light is made up of every color of the prisms of the, spectrum.
Right.
So red being on the one end and purple-violet being on the other end and everything in between, we know that the red light is absolutely essential. Red wavelengths are essential for plants to grow. all, I mean, all the wavelengths are essential, but red is most essential for photosynthesis to take place.
Right.
So I guess I'm just trying to think. If you put a red glass and white light goes through the red glass, does that mean you get more red hitting the plants or you get less red? That's what I'm just not sure about.
Because I know, like, sunglasses are usually like a bluish or greenish tint.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to emphasize, like, yellow because then I might burn the plant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wasn't sure. Like, I haven't designed the panels yet, so I just want to know what color to emphasize. I can do any pattern.
Yeah. Okay, so you know what? We're going to leave. I'm not going to give you a definitive on that right now. We're going to, hopefully we have a listener listening right now who's going to have some thoughts to share and will give us a call, either in the next few minutes or next week.
Okay.
And in the meantime, let me see if I can figure something out.
Well, what an interesting question.
Yeah,
that
it is.
Because,
I'm just like saying these things off the top of my head. So to really know, to really direct you properly, let me. So the bay, you're going to have like a bay window, or you've designed a bay window. You want to put stained glass into that window. On the inside of the house, you'll have what would be like a window seat or something like that. And you want plants on that surface.
Well, it's halfway up the wall. It's just a bay window for plants and that. No seed in it.
Yeah, okay. So even plants
but
down at the ground level.
One in the kitchen, one in the east-facing wall, which gets full morning sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, it's not exactly a bay. It's kind of like a garden box window on the south side.
Okay. All right.
Boy, well,
good
you've
question.
Given a whole bunch of homework for Charlie.
I know.
But it's an interesting
question. Well, it's a physiological question, and it's a good question to ask in advance before you do anything. So that's great. So leave that with me. It might turn out that the best way to go is to have, depending on the size of glass, you know, how your design's going to work, it may turn out that the best way to design it will be with all the colors, because that way you will fulfill the plant's needs. The white light will filter through all the different shades of glass, thus still achieving the full spectrum of light on the inside.
Okay.
But I'll let you know for sure.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking of that in the first place, but then it might look a little busy.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Clifford, for the excellent question, and one that we'll be looking forward to getting an answer from either today or certainly next week. Join us then, would you? Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
9:50 our time here, and we have to take a little bit of a break, but promise to come back and have a word with Tony calling in about fungus gnats. Ooh, that sounds nasty. Gadfrey Daniels. Okay, on with that question with Charlie Dobbin here on The Garden Show from AM 740.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than we do realize. And should little creatures become a big problem, well, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
All righty, here we are back with our callers and Ron from Burlington on the line. Hello, Ron. Good morning.
Hi.
Morning.
Hi, Charlie. Hi, Frank.
Nice to have you with us.
Always an interesting program. I've heard Charlie expound from time to time on the benefits of the red wigglers for your compost.
Uh-huh.
I've been trying to locate some in the Burlington-Hamilton area and haven't had any luck.
Okay, so
but maybe you could direct us.
Burlington area. Now, I did have a call about this not that long ago, and what we recommended was, do you have access to the internet?
Yes.
So what you want to do is go to a website called Kathy's Crawlers.
Pass what?
Kathy, like the girl's name, the woman's name, Kathy, Kathys, and then Crawlers.
Crawlers, yeah.
Kathy's Crawlers, and she specializes in shipping redworms all over North America.
Oh.
And she can get them for you and send them
to
you.
Through the garden center or anything like that.
Well, in the Burlington area, I mean, maybe, did you try calling RBG to see if they had?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
and
they
had
no
RBG
suggestions.
Well.
Buying red wigglers. The other would be, now this is St. Catharines, is the Natural Insect Control people, NIC. They may sell red wigglers or maybe not.
Okay.
I have lots of my composters.
I know, they're too far away.
I know, it's all the way up in Richmond Hill, but boy, are they happy. They're just breeding like crazy. It's perfect. This is red wiggler time.
Maybe we could airmail some over to Burlington.
Well, I could bring my flashlight and go hunting on your lawn.
Yeah, it's dew worms. That's different.
Yeah. Oh,
that's different.
Okay. Anytime at all. You're welcome anytime.
Okay.
But I would check out Kathy's crawlers, because okay, she's got the access. All right, thanks for your call.
Right, bye.
Very good, thank you.
Unless anybody who's listening has a suggestion on, here's Kathy's Crawley Composters. Kathy's Crawley Composters. The actual website, kathyscomposters.com. kathyscomposters.com. Yep. So
home of the red wiggler worms.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where you want to go. Kathy's Crawley Composters. Unless somebody in the Burlington area knows of a local local who might actually carry such a thing. All right, thanks.
Okay. And I think we're on to Tony now on the line about both those fungus gnats. Hello, Tony.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great.
Good. I have a little sticky problem, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
We had asked about this before, and we were given the instruction to try the safer sticky sticks.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried the safer sticky sticks.
Mm-hmm.
They fill up quite well.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, they fill up with an enormous amount of these little
gnats. Yes.
Now, we have been trying the safer insecticidal soap.
Okay.
Which we spray and then we put on the sticky sticks. Uh-huh. But these little guys don't seem to die.
Okay, so remember, this is a sort of two-pronged attack. The fungus gnats, when they're babies, are little tiny worms or larvae in the soil eating fungus. Then they grow up to be adult flies or gnats and start flying around. So the sticky sticks are designed to catch the adults that are flying around prior, hopefully, to them laying any eggs. But the other part of this control measure is you need to cut way back on your watering. So depending, I guess, on what the plants are where you've got the fungus gnats, some plants you can let them dry down substantially between waterings, thus lowering the amount of fungus in the soil, and the population will naturally drop because there's just less fungus. There'll be fewer fungus gnats because there's less to eat. So that's the other thing. Do not keep the soil constantly moist, or you will just the cycle will just keep going. You need to have because the fungus grows happily in a moist soil. So you don't want to kill the plant by going too dry, but at the same time, you really just have to push the plant to the limit of dryness between waterings so that you can lower the amount of fungus.
Okay.
How
much is using a fungicide or anything like that?
No, a fungicide is not going to kill the... it's not going to work. And even the safer soap, if you're going to use soap to try and control this insect, to spray that on the plant... I mean, yeah, you might catch one of the gnats as it's flying and hit it with a little soap and kill it that way. But honestly, you could consider the soap as a soil drench.
Yeah.
And that may do some annihilation of some of the larvae as well.
So actually, I did do a soil drench last night on the with the safer soap.
Okay.
So we'll see how it goes.
Okay, don't do it again then. If you did it the once, then just let it be. And, of course, you're going to want to flush with clear water sometime today.
Okay. Excellent.
Thank you so much, Ron.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, we do have time.
Tony.
Yeah, Tony. Yep. Dave. Mistake. Dave is online from Aurelia. Comment about a leaf blower. I'm dying to find out what this is all about. Hey, good morning, Dave.
Morning.
Hello, Dave.
Dave, are you there?
Hello, Dave. Are you there?
Yeah, he's nope. I hear him breathing, but I don't think he can hear us. Morning, Dave. Nope, no Dave. All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks anyway. We've tried.
Yeah, we tried.
I love to hear about leaf blowers because I have things to say about leaf blowers.
Oh, you don't like them?
I don't like them.
Well, yeah.
They're loud. They're obnoxious.
They're loud, and, usually starting up about 7 o'clock on a Saturday or Sunday morning when
you're
trying to sleep.
Every one of my neighbors has a leaf blower. And I'm the one who goes out with a broom and sweeps. And they're always saying to me, do you want to borrow my leaf blower? And I go, no, I don't want to borrow your leaf blower. I think it's loud and obnoxious. I'd rather sweep. And they go, yes, but this is so much faster and more efficient. I'm going, okay, your point.
Being.
I'd rather sweep. You know?
And isn't it better to leave the leaves on the lawn sometimes?
No, you don't want to leave leaves on a lawn.
Over winter, I guess, what I'm thinking.
But you know, with all that wind, remember that big wind we had last weekend? Everybody had leaves and branches and all kinds of debris all over their lawns and driveways. And that was... total leaf blower. I'm trying to think, when was that? Was it last Saturday, last Sunday? It was a mess. The roadways were a mess. You saw branches on the ground. I went out and swept. All my neighbors went out and leaf blowed.
Leaf blowed.
Blowed their leaves. Blowed their debris. So, I just swept it up. I mean, I picked up all the branches that were on the lawn, and then the leaves that were on the lawn, got chopped up with a lawnmower.
Well, there you go.
You know?
And use that as mulch.
That's very good. Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right. Leave the leaves on the lawn when we're still mowing, because that way you just chop them all up and adds great organic matter to the soil.
There you are. Well, boy, we both have homework to do. I've got to start looking up all sorts of things about...
Gertrude Jekyll.
Gertrude Jekyll roses.
Or Betty Boop.
Betty Boop, I just took a look at them online. The only thing is my wife, Di, loves solid colors. Doesn't like the kind of variation colors and all that. And Betty Boop seems to be that. So I'm going to go probably for the Gertrude Jekyll.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you must.
Looks like
it. It's pretty. It's a really sweet pink and very fragrant. Yeah.
Only thing is, I've got to get my good friend Candace to come over while we're on holidays to make
water
sure
that everything.
Water. Yeah. We're going to be taking some time off next month.
That's great. I know you're looking forward to that.
Oh, boy, am I ever.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know, you're going to be out in the area of Northumberland.
Yeah.
And there is, Northumberland is in bloom on Sunday, June the 24th. Now, I don't know if that's going to work with your holidays, but there are 8 enchanted gardens in the Coburg area open for garden touring on that day. Tickets are available at all kinds of different retailers in Coburg, Port Hope, Baltimore, and Gore's Landing. For any information, go to the website heartofnorthumberland.ca. This is a fundraiser for the local Brothers and Sisters, Big Brothers and Sisters organization. So it's a really wonderful cause. Thanks, everybody. Thanks,
Frank.
Thank
you, Charlie.
Thanks, Sherry Lynn. Thanks to our callers. Thanks, Dave. I'll see you all next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.